Dwight, thank you for those great songs that remind all of us every day that as God's children, we really are walking in the light of our God, the one that we love, the one that we serve, and the one that Acts chapter 17 says, in Him we live and we move and we have our very being. Don't we live in a great country? Amen? Yeah. And do you know what? Our forefathers actually were men who loved America above all else. They were thankful and grateful to God for the rich heritage and for the wonderful opportunity to be able to gather in the name of Almighty God. When I think about the framers of the Constitution of the United States, I'm reminded of men who had great faith in God. They didn't debate the Scriptures to prove them wrong. But they debated the Scriptures to prove them right. And as a result of that, we have the Declaration of Independence and eventually the Constitution of the United States of America. And you know, you and I have been hearing a lot about the Constitution this last week, about the constitutionality perhaps of appointing a Supreme Court justice to the court at this particular time. We know that these men are moving within the Constitution. But there's so many people in our land today that are strangers to the Constitution. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever read the Constitution of the United States of America? I applaud your efforts, and I will tell you that it is a document that we ought to know. And I'm thankful indeed, as I mentioned in our Bible class, as you see here, the Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, who is under consideration for appointment to the highest court in America. And as I said earlier, I believe that she was the smartest one in that room where the committee was meeting. I honestly do believe that. She is a woman of integrity, a woman of great love for God. She has a wonderful, wonderful family, 7 children, 2 children of color, and one who is concerned about the nation in which we live. And I think President Trump made the right call when he selected her. And I hope that she'll be voted out of the committee this coming Thursday and then to a floor vote on the Senate or in the Senate. I know one thing, people keep saying, well, she can't replace Judge Ginsburg. And I'm not saying she's going to replace her. But you know, when I think about Judge Ginsburg and I think about what they have been saying, that her last dying wish was to wait and appoint a new Supreme Court justice with a new president. Well, that was her dying wish. I guess my dying wish is what about all of those young children that were aborted from the womb that she supported? What about all of those young between 60 and 70 million young babies that were ripped from their mother's womb? Tell me about it, Judge Ginsburg. Many liberals fail to understand that the framers of the Constitution based their belief on the Holy Scriptures. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the Bible and the Constitution. You know, the Bible and the Constitution must be read with the author's original intent and with nothing added to the text. We heard senator after senator repeat that, but for some reason or another, they didn't get the message. Because we have people all the time who are wanting to amend the Constitution. We have people who are wanting to change the Constitution. We have people that do not believe that the words that were written by the framers of the Constitution are still alive today. I am here to tell you that they are, and I am here to tell you that the Word of God is just as real, it is just as viable, it is just as true, it is just as firm as the day that it was given by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. There is a thing called Bible law. And a lot of people fail to recognize that many of those great laws were based upon the Word of God. The Constitution that we have, and I'm thankful several years ago, Audrey and I had an opportunity to go to Washington, and we had opportunities to rehearse our nation's history. And we saw the original Constitution. And I think about those men who gave their lives for the great freedom of our world. Now, it's a terrible thing when people desecrate the Constitution of the United States. But what's more terrible is when people desecrate the Word of God and they start adding to it and they start amending it, and to the point that perhaps religious law in our world today does not resemble that which we find contained in what we call the Bible. You remember the Lost Scrolls? Any of you remember the story about the days of Josiah the king when he came to the throne? Josiah was a young man. And when he came to reign, actually the kingdom of Judah was in disarray. They were worshiping idols. Nobody was really honoring God. His father and his grandfather both were corrupt. And even the kings after Josiah became so wicked and so evil. You can read about it in the book of 2 Kings 22 and also 2 Chronicles chapter 34. But what had happened, and it was a terrible, terrible thing, is that when they were finally rebuilding the temple, and that's exactly what they were doing, and they had walled up the Word of God, the scrolls, and had placed them within the walls. Now, let me kind of give you a picture of what that might look like. This building is referred to as a metal building. The reason it's a metal building is that in that wall over there, this wall, actually all the brick walls, it is double brick. And there's a little space in between the two. Well, what they had done when they went back to rebuild the temple, they actually walled up the scrolls from the Word of God. And as they were beginning to rebuild that temple under Josiah and to do the right thing, Hilkiah, actually, who was the high priest, said unto Shaphan, who actually was his servant, and he was kind of like assistant to the president or whatever, but anyway, it was a scribe, and he said unto Hilkiah, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. They had found it, but no one knew where it was. Could you imagine? That'd be like me trying to get up here and preach. I could do that, by the way, because I know enough scripture. But I'm going to tell you something. It'd be like me saying, okay, anybody have a Bible? Well, no, we don't have a Bible this morning. No Bible? Can you imagine these people when those scrolls are locked up in the wall? Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. Now, there were a lot of reforms that were made during the days of Josiah, the king. But the king since Hezekiah have been extremely wicked. In the book of 2 Chronicles 34, I want to read this for you. Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that was given by Moses. That was the Pentateuch. That's the five first books of the Old Testament. And Hilkiah answered and said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to him. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they are doing it even now. That temple was in horrible need of repair. And the book of the law is finally found for the first time. And the people read it. Can you imagine? And now they're ready to repent, reform, rededicate, and return unto the God who gave it. You know, when I think about us today, folks, we are a people that need to go back to God and start worshiping Him again. This country needs to get off of its knees and start serving God. Praying to Him is one thing, and I think we all ought to pray to God. But you know what? We need to activate our faith. We need to get to know the great God of the universe whose hand is on everything in our world. We need to move from knowing about God to knowing God. And there is a difference. I could stand up here and preach all day about God, But that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear what God said. And I'm telling you, I believe that every sermon ought to be power-packed with the Word of the Almighty. We need to pick up our Bible, start reading it, like our life depends upon it, because in actuality, it does depend upon it. Now, I want you to consider this morning, the Word of God was so neglected that nobody knew where it was. Let me ask you this morning, do you know where your Bible is? Do you really know where your Bible is? I hope many of you brought them with you today, and that you're opening it, and that you're reading it, and you're searching out the Word of God. But my question to you today is, why is the Bible lost today? Now, it concerns me historically when I look back at Josiah and I look back at the people of God then and how they turned away from God. They didn't have the Word of God. But my concern today is why? Why is the Bible so neglected today? There is a loss of Bible knowledge. I will tell you, first of all, there is a lack of Bible knowledge. You know, and I told you that the framers of the Constitution had great faith in God. Listen to what Thomas Jefferson says. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. No people who have lost their knowledge of the Word of God will ever be free. Let me ask you another question. How many Bibles do you own this morning? I have a number of Bibles in my office. We have a number of Bibles at home. And the question is not how many you have, but how often do you read the Bible? It amazed me this week when I was searching for this particular lesson, and how few read the Bible with great frequency. Many of them do not read it very often at all. And as you can see here, 13% read it daily, 22% weekly, monthly 7%, 28% never read it, and 30% decide they're going to read it at least once a year. Some have a lack of Bible knowledge, and that is a terrible thing. Because God said in the book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That's how important it is, folks. And in this country, where people do not honor and know the Word of God anymore, the same thing can happen unto us. Some are just not reading the Bible. The Word of God says in Isaiah 34, to seek ye out the book of the Lord and read it. Now that's kind of a poignant statement, but it's true. Read the Word of God. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come again, give attendance unto reading. That's why we have young children's classes. That's why we try to make sure that our young people are taught about this great God who made them, who loves us, who honors us, and who will eventually save us in that wonderful place that we call heaven. Jesus said it this way in John 5 and verse 39, to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Listen to the words of Joshua, the 8th chapter, verse 34 and 35. Afterward, the Bible says, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. I would be a fool to stand up here and not read to you the Word of God or share it with you from what God actually says. For there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. That's why I don't back away in timidity. When someone disagrees with what I'm telling you that came from God, this preacher will not bow down, I will not bend, and I will not burn, folks. I will teach you the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 27, Paul says, I charge you by the word of the Lord that this epistle be read in all, in the presence of all the holy brethren. But some are not knowing the scripture. Jesus said that of some. They were asking him about who's going to be married in heaven, all kinds of issues. And Christ said, don't you know that you are erring because you know not the scriptures nor the power of God? Listen to it again. You err because you don't know the scriptures. And I'm telling you, folks, in today's world, the Bible is lost because people are ignorant of God's eternal word. That's why we have to focus on Bible study, because you cannot obey what you do not know. And some are not searching the scripture, as Jesus said. But in Acts 17, the Bible says of the early church in verse 11 that they search, listen to this, great precedence. He said they searched the scriptures to see if the things that were taught were so. I've told you to do that every time I preach a sermon. I've told you to. I'm not afraid. Hey, you know what? I answer to a great God for failing to tell you the truth or distorting that truth. I've told you before, hey, I want you to search the scriptures. Don't just take my word. Some are not learning. They aren't. In Romans 15:4, Paul writes, for whatsoever things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Holy Scriptures might have hope. If there is a message of God in the Bible, it is know the Bible, study the Scriptures, and develop that faith, hope, and love that God talks about. But you know why the Bible is lost in today's world? Not only because there's a lack of knowledge, but secondly, because people do not reverence the Bible. You know, when I grew up, people honored the Bible. It was revered in every way. People wouldn't think about taking an oath on the Bible without telling the truth. How many of you remember when you would go into a court of law? They don't do it now. But how many of you remember when you would go into a court of law and you would place your hand on that Bible and you say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. You remember that? They don't do that anymore. We've got political activists who want to take God out of the Constitution, by the way. We've got people that want to remove the name of God. We've got some that did remove it, put it back, because they were upsetting a lot of folks. People have lost their reverence for the Word of God. And some are not only not learning it, they are not obeying it. Exodus 34 and verse 7. And he took the book of the covenant and read it to the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do. We will be obedient. And I'm telling you, folks, that is so very important. And in Psalms 111 and verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Did you know that's the only time that the word reverend appears in the Bible? And men are walking around today, Reverend Jones, Reverend Johnson, Reverend Bound, Reverend Green. Let me tell you something, folks. This is not Reverend Manuel. There is nothing that honors me that would say, call me reverend. Only God is to be revered. Only God. I've had people ask me many times, can I call you Reverend Manuel? No, don't do that. Why? And it's an opportunity for me to teach them and to help them understand that you don't revere men. You remember when at the house of Cornelius, he fell down before Peter, and Peter said, hey, stand up. He said, I'm just a man like you are. We're not to be revered, only God. But we need to respect God, need to respect the Word, and we need to live it out in our lives. You know what happens when we do not read it and we do not respect it and obey it and revere it? We have opened a doorway to the enemy. That is Satan himself. And how we open the door for the devil every day is amazing. Let me tell you why that's true. You remember every time that our Lord Jesus was tempted to sin and to do wrong? In the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, every time that he faced that temptation, he would say, "It is written. It is written." And he would quote scripture. You know, we ought to be able to do that as well, shouldn't we? Over 90% of those who identify themselves as Christians admit that they have never read the entire Bible, which ironically is the way you become an atheist. Think about it. If there's no God, quit worrying about it, as some people say, and enjoy your life. But I'll tell you that David said in Psalms 14 and verse 1 that only a fool would say in his heart that there is no God. Only a fool. Some are not rightly dividing the word of truth either. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says to do that. And in 2 Peter 3:16, notice what he says. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They twist. That's what that word rest actually means. As they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And when you don't revere the scriptures, you can add to it, you can take away from it. And some are not accepting the inspired word of God. But Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that it is given by God. For our prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. Let me tell you why the Bible is lost today, folks. Is because we have lost Bible authority. And what I mean by that, when preachers get up to preach, by what authority do you declare the Word of God? By the authority of men or by the opinions of men? Or do you speak on the authority of the one who gave it? Some are not doing all in the name of the Lord, but Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. But some are not accepting, nor are they applying biblical truths. The Bible is lost today in many of the homes of America. Our marriages are falling apart. Our homes are disintegrating. We have a destruction of morality. People in today's world don't know what's moral and what's immoral. When we talk about presidents. We talk about a president who gets up and endorses gay marriage and flashes a rainbow on the White House. What does that tell you about morality, folks? That same man took his oath of office on the Quran. The destruction of morality is the thing that is killing this nation. We must get back to God. For 2 Corinthians 3:15 says, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They honored that word of God so much. But number four, the reason the Bible is lost today is the fact that there is a loss of Bible teaching and preaching. I applaud all of our Bible teachers here at Crockett Road who do such a wonderful job. They may have two or three now in a Bible class on Sunday, and I've said something to them, and they said, but you know what? That one soul is learning what I'm teaching. That two or three that may be gathered there are young children that may learn something that will affect their lives in the future. But some are not expounding the truth, and that's a terrible thing. That's why Paul would tell Timothy, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at the kingdom, to preach the word. Preach the word. What word? The word of God. You preach it, you be instant, urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You preach it when it's politically correct. You preach it when it isn't. You preach it when they endorse it, and you preach it when they don't. Because truth is absolute, and Jesus said in John 8 and 32 that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here's why you preach it: for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the hearing of the truth, and they will be turned unto fables. And if you don't believe it's happening, folks, open your eyes, open your ears. Read the book of Romans 1:28. As even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That sound like anybody you know today? Does to me. I'm not voting for anybody, folks, who does not like to retain God in their knowledge. You can chalk it up. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that were not convenient. But last of all, there is a loss of Bible sharing and personal evangelism. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. That's one of the things that I miss right now, because it's really hard to get into the homes of people that maybe are not Christians, and they're a little apprehensive of you coming into their home. They don't want you to bring maybe the coronavirus or whatever, and it really troubles me, because I have the heart of an evangelist. That's been my life, folks, sharing the gospel. The gospel of Jesus. But when we deliberately determine that we're not going to do it, we're no better than those that lived in the days of Josiah when they walled up the Word of God. Some are not taking God's word to the lost. But Jesus said we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Some are not inviting other people to hear the word of God. You know what? You could invite all of your friends in a single click on Facebook to come worship at this place. I've not seen that before. I've never seen it. Might be something for you to consider. John 4, 28 and 29. The Bible says the woman who had come, who had been married 5 times, and now she's in that little community of Sychar. And the woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said unto the men, Jesus had told her about all of her life. He opened it up. And she says, come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? You know what you and I ought to be doing? You know what our message ought to be? Come see a man. His name is Jesus. All of us have sin. I don't care who we are. It may be pride. It may be drunkenness. It may be depression. It may be stealing, lying, cheating, anxiety, whatever it happens to be. Sometimes it's hard for us to see our own sin. It's easy for us to see the faults of other people, isn't it? But the book of God was lost in the house of God. Think about it. Lost in the house of God by the people of God. What a shame. And the book of God may be lost today through neglect, through misuse, and rebellion. And you know what, folks? In years to come, people keep saying, you know, I hope this election turns out right because our future depends on it. Let me tell you something. Our future depends on God. You want your young people to grow up to be God-fearing young men and women. You want your grandchildren to grow up. Make sure they know this book. Oh, it's wonderful for them to know the Constitution. But you better make sure they know this book. You won't be standing before the Constitution when life is over here. Oh, you'll be standing before a Constitution, all right, but it will not be the Constitution that was framed many years ago by men. It will be the Constitution that we call the Word of God. For Jesus in the book of John chapter 12 said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So may we never be neglectful of the Bible, but may we always be obedient to the teachings of our Savior, that someday heaven will be our home when we leave this world below. The Bible says, "Entrance of thy word giveth life." And it will be as it is in the days of Noah, God said. And in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, Genesis 5 and Genesis chapter 19, it wasn't a very pleasant sight. They waited too long, and all hope was gone. Lost because of procrastination. We will find ourselves in a flaming fire where God will be taking his vengeance on all those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior. So my question to you this morning is, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed Christ? Have you confessed your faith in him? And are you repentant of your sins? Are you willing to change? And have you been baptized for the remission of all your sins? The only thing that will really amount to great importance in the day of judgment is whether or not we receive Christ and we obeyed him, and whether or not we're really living faithful to him. I hope this morning that you are. But let me ask you again, are you living faithful to him? Do you realize that if you do not obey the Holy Scriptures, you give up all hope of going to heaven? And folks, that's the way it is. That's the truth. Come hell or high water, that is the truth. And I invite you to obey it while we stand and while we sing.